Welcome to episode 292 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Sandy, and Elizabeth. Affectionately termed the Emerald City for its lush evergreen forests, known as the birthplace of Starbucks and grunge, home of the tech boom, Seattle is a diverse and thriving city with plenty to offer. Whether you are passing through on your way to your next cruise adventure or staying a while to explore, there is so much to see and do. You are sure to leave wanting more. So let's get started.
Well, I think that we're pretty much going to let Lindsay talk about Seattle since she sort of lives there, right?
I'm a little biased. I'm 45 minutes away from Seattle, so, but.
Yeah, so you don't technically live there, but I do want to point out, right, so before we talk about all the awesome things to do in Seattle, can you talk about the practicality of going to Seattle right now in a COVID world? What are the rules there? What's going on there?
So as far as I know, right now, as of our recording, I believe Seattle's still in phase one. We're doing phases here in Washington State. Now there are quite a few other counties that have already moved to phase two. I'm in Island County, and we've already progressed to phase two. So once Seattle is in phase two, I think things will loosen up a little bit, but we really need to be more in, I think, phase four before we have unrestricted travel. Is where I believe state phase three and four. So it's going to be a little while before you can come visit, but that gives you plenty of time to plan out everything you want to do when you come here. And that's not saying you can't come, but I do believe that there is a quarantine in effect for Washington State if you arrive here.
I can't imagine that Pike Place Market is open.
Yeah, a lot of things must be closed.
No, a lot of things are closed. In phase one, in fact, all the restaurants and everything is closed right now. It's takeout only. Phase two, here on the island, some of the restaurants and things are open for a limited capacity, and lots of outdoor seating is going up. I'm seeing lots of restaurants put tents and things outside and stuff like that. So, and then the big thing here was like hairdresser appointments and things like that can happen now in phase two. And then I think anything else is phase three. So those are the two big things where like limited restaurant capacity. So every state has different phases, and this is kind of.
Although, that, I mean, that sounds like North Carolina's phase. George, is that similar to where you are as well?
Yeah, we started with phase one, and then they sort of jumped the gun and did 1.5. So it was groups of 10 to start with, and then they decided to, instead of jumping right to 50, they went to 25.
Oh, you know, why not?
Yeah, and opened a few more things. So I guess they're just playing it by ear and seeing how the cases roll.
So I think the phases are sort of, in general, the same, except for each state can do what they want, really, in the end. Yeah. So then we're planning for maybe next year or a few months from now, at least.
Probably a few months from now. I mean, we've been progressing pretty quickly. It's all tied to how many cases there are. And like Island County, where I am, I was really surprised they applied for overnight approval and got overnight approval, next day approval to be moved to phase two. So the ideal time was 3 weeks between phases. So we should be coming up on phase three pretty shortly. And I do believe Seattle should be moving to phase two pretty soon. And then three, I think, is when some leisure travel can resume. And then four is when we're kind of.
Yeah. Do you guys have like a, I kind of consider Seattle like a kind of summer destination. Do you have winter?
Yeah. Our winter is not your typical snow, cold, ice, winter. Well, you know, I say that people in the mountains are like, no. This pass that I cover Vancouver to. But in Seattle proper, what they consider Seattle is like pretty much every big city kind of just encompasses all the suburbs on the outside or outskirts of it. But for here, it's gray. It's gray. It's maybe a little chilly. The hooded sweatshirt is like the state uniform. Like, mm-hmm. if you see someone with an umbrella, they're not a native. It's not like rain, like you picture rain where it's thunderstorms and pouring monsoons. And we've all been to the Caribbean and you've seen when it rains there, or even in Florida when it rains and it's that tropical where you're standing in the shower rain. Mm-hmm. The rain here is not like that. It's just kind of drizzly and a little gray and icky.
So would you recommend someone traveling there in like December?
You know, it still can be a great destination. There's lots to do indoors. There's lots of museums. You know, the Museum of Flight is open all year round. The Pop Museum, Museum of Pop, and the art museums, all of that is all open year round. It just depends on if you want to enjoy the great, beautiful outdoors, and you're expecting those picturesque, sunny days and things like that. The most gorgeous time to visit is during from spring to early fall. That's kind of our peak. And we kind of moved here in August, which is the most beautiful month to visit. So it was a little distant. This is beautiful. This is every day. It's gorgeous. This is like, it is the most beautiful place in the world. And when the sun is shining and all those gray days really do account for that. Much like in Ireland, it rains a lot, and Scotland and that type of climate, we share that climate here in the Pacific Northwest, that same type of climate where you.
Well, and that's why it's so beautiful, right? I mean, you need the rain in order to make all that stuff grow and turn green. And I mean, why do you think Ireland is green?
Even the gray days, I will say, even the gray days have some of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen. The sky just comes alive on fire, and it's purples and oranges and reds and magentas, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. You might not see it all day long, but then when the sun does set, you get to see it for like the golden hour there. It's a really gorgeous place to be. So there's lots to do, and it just depends. Breweries, of course, are open all year round, and this is an amazing place to come if you are a beer lover or a wine lover. There's so many options to tour. You can go to Chateau Saint Michel and do the wine tours. You can tour tons of wineries and lots of local breweries and lots of craft beer places and things like that.
How far outside of Seattle are you going for those wineries? I know the breweries are all in, I mean, there's a lot in town, but how far out are you going?
You don't have to go very far. Within an hour, you can hit, probably less than an hour, you can hit multiple. And we're talking cider, places to go for cider. That's the thing about Seattle is that if you're coming for the city has so much to offer, but within a short drive or even a ferry ride, you are really close to some of the most amazing things. Like in the summertime, there's the town of Squim has a lavender festival, and that brings people in from all over the world typically. But it's a wonderful thing to see. The tulip festival here is incredible. It's about an hour's.
So you've basically said you're France and Holland,
yeah,
and Ireland.
And it's funny that you should mention that because Seattle is one of the most diverse destinations in the U.S. We have quite the broad melting pot, and within just a few blocks in the city, you can find food from so many different cultures. And the best teriyaki I've ever had in the U.S. is in Seattle.
I'm surprised you don't talk about Seattle like I talk about Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you, Lindsay. Well, you're my favorite.
You know, it's a little bit, I've only been here for I think 8 or 9 years. I can't even remember now.
Not how long I lived in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You just got to get it in every episode.
Okay. So I want to ask you something, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this before, but a lot of people come to Seattle for a cruise, right? They're cruising to Alaska. So you come in the day before, let's say you get there in the morning, early afternoon. What do you think should be your top, like, what do you suggest somebody do before they go on their cruise the next morning? I always suggest coming to Seattle for more than one night because there's so much to do. But if you just have sort of that one afternoon and evening in Seattle, what's your go-to?
It really depends. If you wanted just a little snapshot of Seattle life, Pike Place Market is a must do. If you have someone in your traveling party that loves planes or that loves the Museum of Flight, will blow you away. Whether you are a fan of aviation or not, it's just so incredible to walk through there. And there's so many exhibits that really encompass quite a bit of culture. If you are a music fan, I would say the not miss would be the Museum of Pop. Museum of Pop Culture, MoPop, or it's such a weird, cool shape building, but they have, every floor has a different theme. And so there's the Pearl Jam area that's dedicated to Pearl Jam's history. But then there's an area that's dedicated to like horror movies and science fiction and fantasy and just about anything pop culture reference that you can think of. It is definitely the not to be missed. So it really just depends on what your interests are, what you don't want to miss. But everybody should go to Pike Place Market. Everybody should go to Pike Place Market, and even if you don't have time to do a food tour, which is one of the best things to do there, because they'll take you around to these little kiosks in the middle of the market that you wouldn't find otherwise on your own, and give you a little taste of the local culture, you should try and make your own little food tour if you can't get in on one on the day that you happen to be visiting. But
so what you're saying is go there and eat all the food.
Yes, come here, eat all the food. Lots of healthy food. You got to dig for anything fattening, but it's there.
I remember getting those oysters. They were phenomenal.
Little mm-hmm. oyster shooters.
Well, and Pike Place Market is famous for the fish throwing thing. Does that happen all day long, or do you have to get there early in the morning to see it? Okay.
All day, every day. It's a must do for the tourists. And you can ship fish. And actually the SeaTac Airport, most people don't know this, but there's a place there you can store your fish.
That is a random statement.
There's another thing that's cool about Seattle. If you are cruising out of Seattle, the transfer of your luggage to the airport is not charged for. That's like the only place that I know of where they do like free transfer of luggage.
That was great.
That is nice.
You don't want a car unless if you're staying in downtown Seattle. You don't want a car. Parking is terrible. Parking is extremely expensive. And Uber, Lyft, even just walking around are much more efficient ways to get around the city. Even when my husband and I go into Seattle for a weekend or whatever, we ditch the car somewhere for the weekend and we just Uber or Lyft around because...
And I'd like to get one other discussion out of the way that the thing we always hear is, I'd like to stay in Seattle for the night before the cruise, someplace cheap.
That's not possible. You know, if you want to stay in Seattle somewhere cheap and you're calling it Seattle, you could be really far away from actual Seattle itself. And I will say even really far away is not cheap. The Pacific Northwest is not cheap.
That's my disclaimer. Thank you for saying that. People do not believe me. Well, can I get a waterfront hotel for $149 a night? No.
You can't
sleep in the ocean on a raft for $140.
Everett, which is 40 minutes away from Seattle, you can't get a Best Western for $149 a night. You are not getting a waterfront anything for $149 a night. I'm sorry. I wish without a time machine, it's not going to happen. But that being said, it is beautiful, and there's something wonderful about staying in, splurging a little bit and staying closer to those cafes to go to the little restaurants in the morning and the little iconic restaurants. And there's being able to walk to them or being able to take a little short Uber ride and experience that Seattle culture. It's not cheap.
Is Seattle walkable?
If you like hills, very much so. But if you are lazy like me and do not like hills, there are walkable sections of Seattle. I'm biased. Now that I've done the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in Seattle, I will never look at it the same way again. It's no longer walkable. If you'd asked me that before that, I would have been like, yeah, it's totally walkable.
Yeah. Yeah, George, don't go to Halifax.
What'd you say?
Don't go to Halifax.
Nova Scotia?
Have you been there?
Yes.
You look at the thing and it's way up on the hill.
Well, you know, my sister used to live in San Francisco, and I just, yeah. She's like, it's a flat walk. I'm like, but is it? Or is it San Francisco flat? Which flat do you mean?
Who's flat are you?
What's
to judge this?
What's our measuring stick? So, George, you recently went as a tourist. Did you find it walkable, or did you tend to Uber around? What did you do when you were
there? No, I didn't Uber at all. So we flew in a SeaTac, and then I took the T Metro, whatever you guys call it there, into downtown. I think we got off at the something like the Broadway station.
Yeah.
And we walked all the way up Fifth Ave, and I mean, it wasn't flat, but I didn't find it all that awful.
Yeah.
We stayed at a hotel up there that, gave me extreme sticker shock when I booked a hotel for $340 for a night.
Yeah, that's actually a good price.
I was going to say, sign me up.
It was. Yeah. And it was a nice hotel. It was pretty close to everything. So from there, we walked up to the Space Needle and did that, and then walked back to the hotel, and then walked down to Pike's Market for dinner, and then walked back to the hotel. So, yeah, it wasn't all that bad.
So I think my memory is correct, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I remember when we went to the Space Needle, I actually saw for the first time a puppeteer with one of those like tiger puppets that are similar to the Lion King, where she was actually manipulating the tiger in front of her. And am I remembering correctly that it's at the Space Needle where there's this huge park where there's lots of buskers and things like that?
Yes.
I'm not saying you'll see the tiger lady. I'm just saying that was because that was really an unexpected treat. Was, you know, we went to go to the Space Needle, and it was like, oh my gosh, there's all this art and music around us. It was really cool.
And if you go when it's nice out, so the thing is about living in an area where it's gray most of the time, when it is nice out, people are out. And there's tons of musicians, tons of, even in Pike Place Market, right in front of the very first Starbucks, which is actually technically the second Starbucks, but we won't get into that. But the one that everybody visits as the first Starbucks, they have a sign-up sheet for musicians and buskers where they get a certain time slot. One really cool thing about the Pike Place Market is to keep the local traditions and crafters, because prices have increased so much, to keep them being able to be in there. They have kept the prices low for vendors in the crafting section. So you're going to find really unique, cool things in there. And they're not being priced out, the crafters. There's quite a passion here for local made goods. And
I noticed that, like, the jewelry and stuff was not totally crazy. It was very reasonable.
Yeah, if they had to charge Seattle real estate for those spots, then stuff would all be like $1,000 a piece.
See, hotel room costs. Because, that's the thing. You're in an expensive city, and it's just really difficult to find. And even, it seems like Seattle doesn't have the sort of old rent controlled areas, so that some of these, like, you can find little B&Bs in Greenwich Village that are actually pretty affordable and things. You can't find that in
unfortunately. There's no rent control anything in Seattle. It's a very sore issue here. There's no rent control really anywhere within the, I call it the triangle of death here. We've got between Microsoft and Boeing and Amazon. And if you're living anywhere within driving distance of any of those corporations, and if you're trying to rent a hotel in anywhere between those corporations, you're paying the premium. But I will say the biggest gift I've gotten from living here, other than all this beautiful scenery and wonderful things to do, is I no longer complain about prices when I travel. Like, everything at Disney is affordable. This is normal pricing for me.
$15 for a cheeseburger? Sure. That's awesome.
Like $17 for a grilled cheese sandwich. But on that note, like, there's tons of great food in downtown Seattle. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface. We've only been here 9 years, and we haven't even scratched the surface of all the cool places to eat. Tom Douglas has an incredible chain of restaurants down there. There's a bunch of well-known mom and pop places. If you come here and you have a chance and you want to have a little piece of history, eat at Dick's Burgers. Dick's Drive-In Burgers, kind of known for their little relish on the burgerism. There's lots of local pride and them, I highly recommend getting here and having enough time. Even if you're just here on a pre-stop before a cruise, take a couple extra days, because I guarantee you're going to wish you did. You're going to wish, darn it, I wish we had. I didn't know about the Chihuly Glass. I didn't know we could drive and go see waterfalls. I didn't know we could do a waterfall wine tour that leaves from the Sheraton in downtown Seattle. I didn't know there was this really cool underground Seattle tour. You know, talk to your travel advisor, hopefully one of us, about all these neat little things that you can add on and kind of add value to your experience and time here. And if you have time, Seattle's a great jumping off point to go take the Clipper, go to Victoria, go, you know, come up to where I live on Whidbey Island, go to the islands, go to the San Juan Islands, go do an orca cruise, do something kind of a little, take a day trip out and go see something that you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit, because one of the things that seems to be a trend now because of COVID and sort of a post, you know, I want to travel, but I want to keep it safe, is domestic travel. And isn't it American Cruise Line does the Puget Sound? And can you talk a little bit about what you might see there and how much of that is Seattle and how much of it is like what else there is there to see?
You're going to see Puget Sound. You're going to go there. They have sailings, I believe, that go up the Oregon coast, that go all the way up to Alaska. They do Alaska as well. But you're going to see lots in the Puget Sound. You're going to see lots of whales. That's where our J-Pod is from. That's where the transients and the locals tend to be. Depending on the time of year, you can see gray whales, you'll see sea lions. You'll see tons of wildlife. I find it hard to not see eagles here. Has like ruined that part of Alaska for me, because everyone's like, oh my god, it's a bald eagle. I'm like, yeah, we got a pair in a nest in a tree in our backyard, you know.
It's kind of, we actually have them here in North Carolina too. It's really weird, because I grew up at a time where the bald eagle was very, very scarce. The first one I saw was in Alaska, and now, yeah, you can go out to Jordan Lake and they're flying overhead, so yeah, pretty cool.
You're going to see tons of wildlife. I mean, so one not to be missed gem here, and I'm totally biased because I do live on Whidbey Island, so I will say that. If you have a chance, come up to Whidbey Island, go up to Deception Pass and see that bridge. Just pull up the videos of it and look at the pictures. And just know that they can't do it justice. It is one of the most beautiful places in the world that I've ever been. And the sunrise and the sunsets there are just incredible. You'll see harbor seals under there. You'll see otters. You can see sea lions. Just tons of wildlife.
So there's two things that have happened so far that have made me laugh. First of all, that you mentioned Pearl Jam is in the Museum of Pop Culture, which must kill Pearl Jam, really, to be in the Museum of Pop Culture. And then also, just full transparency, people, Lindsay constantly complains about how long it takes her to get to the mainland.
It's not the how long it takes to get to the mainland. It's all the people in the ferry line during tour season coming over to my island,
which you just encourage, right? That's what we heard, right? That's
well, yeah, George. Yeah, that's what I heard. I'll send you anywhere in the world but where I live. The longer I live here, the more I become a little more islander. And islanders, there's actually a popular bumper sticker on this island that says, "Welcome to beautiful Whidbey Island, no go home."
I can understand that. I think, I mean, honestly, Sandy is from, I don't know if you know this, but Sandy is from Myrtle Beach. The way she talks about Pittsburgh, you never know that. And I'm sure they have a similar thing there. So the second bullet on your things to talk about with Seattle is the gum wall. I do not know what that is. Do I want to know what that is?
It's kind of disgusting, but they did
kind of what you would think it is.
It's a wall in an alley that I don't know. There's real, they, like, I've been on so many tours where they tell you the story and I've forgotten it every time, so I need to go do it again. But people just chew their gum and they stick it on the wall, and it's kind of an icon.
Yeah, okay, moving on. So what you did put on here, though, is the Fremont Troll, and I want to talk about the troll because that is super cool. Have you seen it?
Yes.
And it is super cool. So talk about the story. Yeah.
It is cool. I don't know about the story. I just
It's in that movie, 10 Things I Hate About You. We mentioned that recently.
I feel so like I know the story behind it, but I don't.
Yes, you should. And now I feel silly because I don't remember it because it's been a while since I saw it. But it is underneath the bridge. So trolls live underneath bridges. And so it's one of those things where you go under this bridge and there is like a sculpture of a troll, and it's so cool. It's so cool. And I've seen it twice, and neither time that I've seen it has it been super crowded, which has also surprised me. It makes it feel like a hidden gem, even though it made your bullet list. Granted, kind of far down, way down below the gum wall, you,
I
but.
wasn't in any particular order.
I don't see any squatch hunting on here either.
Oh yeah, I got Fox a t-shirt about the Bigfoot. That's what I brought him from
I
Seattle.
thought Bigfoot was in Ohio. Is Bigfoot in Washington State?
Yep.
Well,
Oh
I've been
yeah.
looking in the wrong place.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm looking. I was looking for the story behind the troll, but all I'm seeing is that the troll is not cleaned or sanitized.
I
Oops.
will
See
say
that
the
part.
Chihuly place is right below the Space Needle, and that was one of the things I really wanted to do. And it's kind of funny because the year that I went to Seattle and visited Lindsay, Chihuly was also doing a big thing at the Biltmore in Asheville, so close to me. And I missed the Asheville one. And the day I was in Seattle, there was like a special event that night at the Chihuly Museum, and it closed early for the special event, and I missed it there too. So it's on my list to do again.
You gotta come back and see me again, and we can do all the things that we've
You know, going through all this again, I'm remembering that I meant to kind of plan a trip to bring my kids out there because they would love Seattle. They would
Well,
love
and there's little
it.
hidden gems too, because as we were walking around, and this was back when I was a librarian, there's a children's book illustrator museum as well, with all these like original pieces of art. And it's not far from Pike. I can't tell you exactly where it is, but it's not far from Pike Place Market. And if I remember correctly, and this might have been a special exhibition, so please forgive me because it was a long time ago and I'm old, but they had an Eric Carle, like all these like the Very Hungry Caterpillar, like original collages where you could see, on the You see the book and you can tell it's a collage, but you could see where he'd laid the paper down, and glued
Wow.
everything together. So super, super cool. And that was actually something because Chris and I did not have kids at the time that we went the last time. And I sort of dragged him into there and he was like, this is really cool. So yeah, there's little gems all over Seattle like that, where if there's something that interests you, there's probably, I've even heard, I've had some knitters go on cruises there and like, oh, we have to go to this wool shop. Like some of these places are legendary.
Some of the quilting shops and things like that, like it's a big thing here. Sewing and quilting are very much a big thing. And all these little islands, like the one I live on, and up in Coopville, there's this quite famous quilting shop. The other big thing here is antiquing and thrifting. One of the coolest thrift stores. I mean, you're not going to find thrift stores anywhere. I will say in the U.S. that are cooler than what you're going to find in Seattle and in the surrounding areas. Like the things here that you can find here are so off the wall, incredible that.
Another thing that I loved at Pike Place was the two-car cherry stand. And they were giving out like samples of their chocolate-covered cherries, so I bought some. But I have ordered directly from them several times since then because they're so freaking good.
So, George, I'm going to put you on the spot. When you went, did you try any foods that you normally don't try when you were in Seattle?
Yeah, it was really funny because being from New England, we eat seafood all the time. So we went to a seafood restaurant and I didn't know any of the fish they were offering. So one was like
Did you
some,
try one?
yeah, we did. Was it rockfish or something like that?
You go to
Yeah.
Ivers? Okay.
And it was really good, I guess. I mean, fish is white fish, but I probably couldn't have told if it was cod or haddock or anything we'd normally have up here. But yeah, it was pretty good.
That's actually one of my biggest memories of Seattle also was I tried salmon there, and I had not been a fan of salmon at all. I don't generally like steak fishes. I still don't like shark and mahi mahi. Those are
Fish.
not, I'll eat them, but it's not like, it's not ever my, never my choice. If you present it to me, I'll be like, thanks. But and the salmon was so good. It was unworldly how good it was. And I thought, okay, this is why people like salmon, because they have this first and then they put up with what they can get elsewhere. It's so fresh. And I still believe that the West Coast in general, you have such an agricultural arm within driving distance of all of your cities. So farm to table is like serious farm to table. And you can grow everything. I mean, you can't grow oranges in Washington, but you can grow everything else.
I remember the flowers at Pike Market were amazing. Like the flower stalls, gorgeous. Yeah. And the fruit, yeah. I mean, it was like, I remember seeing grapes that I had never seen anywhere else before. And I'm like, oh, these look really cool. And I remember taking pictures and stuff like that and sending kids. I got to bring my kids over there.
That's also why the wine region here is so good. Because, but there's another, like, George went to Ivers, which is a kind of an iconic place. But the other iconic place in downtown Seattle is the Crab Pot. And it's more of like a kitschy experience where they like, they put the paper on the table and they dump out the, like, I guess, low country boil of crab and all the like potatoes and stuff, and it's all on the table served family style. And so that's kind of like an iconic thing to do here. And if you like mussels, so I grew up in, you know, Wisconsin. We got our seafood out of lakes. With deep beer battered walleye. And, so moving out here and learning to appreciate real seafood was hard, and it's still a learning process for me. But one of the things I have found I love are Penco mussels, and they're actually found on the island I live on up in Coopville in Penco, and they are, I guess, world famous. It's they're just that delicious. And then I was like, oh, I like mussels. And so I forget where I was. I think it might have been Disney or so. I was somewhere and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have mussels because I love mussels so much. And they were crap. I was like, these are not Penco.
I'm distrustful of any like catch of the day when you're several hours from the ocean. You know, I'm like, oh, this is a thing.
This like shrimp shack in the middle.
See, up here they trick you. It's not called catch of the day. It's called scrod.
Ooh,
really?
There's no such fish. So if you ever see scrod on the menu, it means whatever they brought in.
This random fish that Joe caught.
Yep.
That's awesome. But we went to a brewery too when we were in Pike Place. I can't remember the name of it, but it was really good. I remember like buying t-shirts for my husband and stuff.
We brushed
over the breweries, which is a shame, but the reason we did that is because everybody knows Seattle is a beer capital.
Yeah, there were several to choose from just in Pike Place, you know. But
and you can get Alaska beers in Seattle. Mm-hmm. That you can't get over here in wee old North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Or even where George is in New England somewhere randomly.
but you can't. Yeah, that's true. But you guys have beer I can't get.
Yeah, but it's not Alaska beer and Seattle beer. That clear mountain water, that like...
Oh. She wants that Kentucky bourbon barrel beer.
I do.
I will send that to you if you will send me some Seattle and Alaska beer. We need to talk offline after the podcast. Okay. I will totally send that to you. Yeah. It is good. I'm not denying. There. Yeah. So good. So good.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Flyaway or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Kagata Fly.